Good morning. I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of our brother Jesus and pray that by our worship together we might know his peace and claim our place as God's free people. I extend a particular welcome to those of you who may be joining us by our live stream or our recorded worship. Distance and time continue to separate us, and yet our hearts are bound together as one in this body of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we give thanks for that Spirit alive among us. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. We have a few announcements to share this morning, and as always, we thank our worship leaders for sharing their talents this day to make our worship possible. And so we extend thanks to Sarah Lynn Keller and to Wayne Zaretter and to Tom Foster as well, who has recorded some music for us today as he's off on vacation. We also give thanks for the members of the senior choir who put together a video performance of the Song of Praise, which we'll hear later in our worship. And as always, we thank Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer and the staff at Pegasus Natick for all of their technical expertise that is making this worship possible. We're also giving special thanks today to our guest musician, Guillermo Martinez, who's coming to us live today from Salzburg, Austria. You will remember Guillermo performing with us last October with Florian Sattler, cellist. And so we welcome him back. As a reminder, he's a member of the string ensemble duo Passacaglie, with which he often tours across Austria, Germany, and France. So welcome, Guillermo. It's great to have you with us again. We have a time during our worship of lighting a candle, and that will happen just following the announcement. So I invite you to have a candle ready to do that as I light the Christ candle. We also have communion today, and so I'm inviting you now to gather together the things that you will use as worship elements, things that will be for you bread and wine, whether this is bread or crackers or something else that you can break and share with others, or wine or grape juice or water in a cup or cups. Any of these things will do. So we look forward to sharing in communion a little bit later on. We also have a time of public prayer concerns and celebrations being lifted up during morning prayer, and so many of those you'll find in the bulletin. So we look forward to sharing those today, and we invite you to take a look at them. You also have an opportunity to share celebrations and concerns by emailing us now at prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. That's prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. And if we receive those by the time of the reflection, we should be able to incorporate them into our worship this day. We also have a time immediately following worship for post-worship fellowship. That's going to happen around 10:30 and go till about 11:30 today. It's a time of casual conversation. Please feel free to join us together. This day, we do that by Zoom video conferencing. You can find a link in the bulletin on the church's website at www.firstchurchnatick.org, or you could also find it in the church's weekly emailing link that would have gone out on Friday or this morning. And Sarah Lynn, I know you have a couple of announcements as well.
I do. Thank you, Jonathan. So I, with great joy, I remind folks that in 2 weeks, we will be coming together in the sanctuary for our first in-person worship in a year and a half. So on July 18th at 9:30 a.m., we will gather together for worship. We will continue to provide a digital worship option as well, both over Pegasus Livestream and the local access channels. So you can also choose to do that. For those of you who are coming to church in person, we just want to remind you there are a few things to know. We ask you to bring a mask. We will be staying physically distant in the sanctuary, and we will follow our service with an outdoor post-worship fellowship, weather permitting. And you can bring a water or a snack to enjoy during that fellowship time. And we ask you to bring an open heart and a spirit of grace as we come together in this transition time of figuring out what it is to be church again in person. And then this week, we are going to have Porch Theology on Wednesday at 7 p.m. You may recall that we had talked about that for last week. It was postponed due to the heat wave, but we are glad that we will be able to gather at my house on Wednesday evening. Please RSVP to me or the office to let us know so we can reserve a seat at the table and make sure that we have enough snacks and beverages for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah Lynn. So we come to a time now of continuing our worship as we celebrate the Spirit among us, and we do that ritually by lighting a candle together. So I invite you to do that now with me, remembering that by these friendly flames, we are one in the Spirit, no matter how distance or time might divide us. And let us continue our time together in worship now with this morning's call to celebration.
Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. God has created us as free beings.
We are called to live in the freedom that is God's gift.
Enslavements keep us from the fullness of freedom.
We come to hear again the truth that makes us free.
Let us take up Christ's yoke
and know the freedom that brings rest for our souls.
Join me in the opening prayer as we say together, Liberating God, lead us this day in the way of freedom that is the way of Christ. by your Spirit, set us free from the ties that bind too tightly. Strengthen us to stand against all that would imprison, whether the oppressive forces of society, the legalisms of religion, or the dictates of our own egos. Give us impassioned hearts to declare the freeing word of Christ to the world. Amen.
I invite each of us now to share the peace of Christ, reaching out our hands in a gesture of blessing, or perhaps putting our hands over our hearts with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace and meeting the spirits of others with our peace. Or using the word namaste with a bow, which symbolizes that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
So we continue to be in a time when we are not passing the offering plate, and yet we are still in a time when we are God's generous people giving of the many gifts that we have received in our lives. Many ways that we share the things that we have in order to be the people of God that God intends us to be. And so we thank you for your generosity of all kinds in sharing of those gifts. One of those ways is through your money gifts, and you can, as always, write a check and mail that to the church, or you can, if you want to make a money gift, you can go to our church's website at www.firstchurchnatick.org and use our church's online giving portal to make a contribution. Thank you for making it possible for the mission and ministry of this congregation, unique in Natick and its surrounds, to continue. God has blessed us with many kinds of wealth. Let our joy and gladness overflow as we express gratitude to God with our offerings.
Hello, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure. I just wanted to share a couple of words about the next piece. Actually, the first piece I played, which is by Johann Sebastian Bach, which we all know and love very much, was an inspiration for the next piece by Eugene Isaie, who is a much more modern composer, who wrote these pieces, these sonatas, six sonatas for solo violin, much later, in 1923. And who took, yes, as I say, inspiration from Bach, but also from people like Debussy. So it's rather eclectic. He has an eclectic feel. And that's why I love this piece so much.
Let us pray. O God, by our free choice and in love, we make this offering as a sign of our participation in Christ's ongoing work of setting captives free. Bless our gifts for this emancipating purpose and strengthen us to offer worthy service as co-workers with Christ. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from the book of Romans and the Gospel of Matthew. Beginning in Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 25a. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer that I do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer that I do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 16 through 19. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. And continuing in verses 25 through 30. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Here ends the reading for today.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So it's Independence Day, and we have yet another opportunity to ponder that quintessential American ideal, freedom. Proof that we pride ourselves on liberty is found in our national debates on gun control and gun rights, social media site power to block content and people and their accounts, and if the government can impose any laws on houses of worship, such as during a pandemic. Well, it's probably all healthy, all of this debate. The founders knew what lack of freedom actually meant. Many came to this land to escape religious persecution, and all had experienced the oppression of English rule. Those like Patrick Henry, who proclaimed, "Give me liberty or give me death," were prepared to lay down their lives to achieve it. With the specter of slavery lurking in our past and civil rights fights continuing in our own lives, and the shadow of terrorism, domestic and foreign, hanging over us, our commitment to the principle of freedom is as alive today as it ever was, and so it should be. We often define freedom as living without constraints. But is that true? Well, St. Paul points at the gulf between what we want to do and what we actually do. "I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do want is what I do. Who can deliver me from this slavery?" So for all its importance, freedom to do what we want to do can be, well, downright dangerous. I'm reminded of years ago when I was out driving with my then 8-year-old nephew. He saw a flatbread truck and there was a front loader forklift on the back, and his eyes sort of get wide and he says, "Boy, I wish I had one of those." And I'm kind of curious, and so I ask him, "Well, what would you do with a forklift like that?" And he gets this kind of mischievous look in his eyes and he says, "Anything I want to." So while the consequences of unlimited freedom may not be as visibly destructive as we might imagine from an 8-year-old forklift operator, it has hidden dangers. When we have nothing meaningful or productive to do with our freedom, the result may be self-indulgent consumption in our pursuit of satiated desires. The fact is, democracy has given us a wonderful gift in freedom, but little guidance in wanting the things that are worth having. So we take it for granted that the purpose of our freedom is to avoid anything that might bind us, being free to do what we want. But to those who worship such freedom, Franz Kafka says, "You are free, and that is why you are lost." As scary as an 8-year-old forklift operator is, it's really adults who are in the most danger. Because we have a lot of freedom to roam the internet at will, unfiltered, to get our digital content on demand and binge watch into the wee hours, to peruse endless shelves of food and food-like substances and load our carts. Lots of freedom. We are so free. And yet, we can be slaves to our freedom. Kafka might better have said, "You are free, and that is why you are bound." So let us enter into a deep Christian paradox then. Jesus says, "Come all of you who are weary and are carrying heavy loads and burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So our religion, well, it's supposed to be liberating, right? All we need to do is look at the prophets, and we hear that word again and again, and yet here Jesus speaks of a yoke and says true freedom means being bound. So often we consider freedom to mean, well, freedom from, right? But common sense tells us that such freedom isn't always desirable. For example, if I have a violin string that's loose and I twist one end of it, it's going to be free, right? It's going to respond to what I do with my fingers. But Guillermo is going to confirm for us that it's not free to do what a violin string was intended to do, to produce music. So we fix that to a violin and we draw it taut, and then it is truly free to be a violin string. Or take the skydiver who at 10,000 feet decides that she's going to remove her parachute. Well, no doubt she is going to be free of constraints, but she won't be free to be a skydiver for very long. German pastor and theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, writing from the prison cell he occupied because of his involvement in a plot to assassinate Hitler, said that no one can truly be set free. A prisoner himself until his execution by the Nazis in the final days of World War II, Bonhoeffer thought we must learn to be free, paradoxically, through discipline. This is what Jesus called to discipline is all about, says Bonhoeffer. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. Bonhoeffer's saying that taking up Christ's yoke, we may learn how to be free by understanding who and whose we really are, and then living into that identity. The Shakers agreed. Why service is so crucial to our freedom is seen in the hymn, Simple Gifts. "'Tis the gift to be simple, 'tis the gift to be free. 'Tis the gift to come down where we ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight." So there's that paradox again. When we come down where we ought to be, that's when we are most free. We want and need freedom. To be a slave, controlled and exploited, goes against those unalienable rights our forebears proclaimed in the Declaration of Independence, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And yet liberty alone doesn't guarantee happiness. Sometimes it depends on the service into which we freely enter. Freedom found not in our servitude, but in our servanthood. Willingly taking up Christ's yoke, finding the highest expression of our freedom in choosing to serve on behalf of others. Bonhoeffer, I think, is helpful here too by further defining this principle of what Christian freedom actually means. Freedom, he says, is not a possession or presence or an object, nor is it a form of existence, but it is a relationship and nothing else. In truth, freedom is a relationship between two persons. Being free means being free for the other, because the other has bound me to him. Only in relationship with the other am I free. In a couple of weeks, some of us are going to return to in-person worship, and I am so excited to that day coming. Inside the sanctuary, however, we are also going to keep wearing masks and social distance. And when it comes to hymns, we're going to hum. We're going to hum, to begin with, at least. One of my personal hymn favorites goes, "My life flows on in endless song, above earth's lamentation. I hear the sweet, though far off, hymn that hails a new creation. Through all the tumult and the strife, I hear that music ringing. It finds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing?" I love singing. I love singing, and I'm so looking forward to singing again as a congregation. And still, we're going to hold off a bit longer and hum. And I know there are some of you out there who don't feel that we have the need to do that. And yet some of our siblings in Christ aren't ready yet to shed the defenses that we've been using to combat coronavirus. Or they're not able now or perhaps ever to receive a vaccine. And I'd like us all to be able to claim our kinship with God's children. And also the mantle of servanthood and be able to sing without hypocrisy on some future day together another favorite hymn. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship our spirit finds is like to that above. So for a while yet, we're gonna hum and social distance and mask. As Americans, we bristle at this idea of putting on a yoke, right? But this is Christ's easy yoke. This is a light burden. Why is that? Well, it's because a yoke binds two together to work in concert at some task. Putting on Christ's yoke means accepting Jesus' invitation to share in this ministry together and to take our place alongside him as children of God. Besides, the fact is, most of us, well, we're yoked to something or other, whether we want to admit it or not. The question is, when are we going to freely choose those things most worthy and life-giving to which we will be bound? Freedom is required for living lives that are whole, and we must do all that we can to preserve freedom for all. But let us have the wisdom to willingly bind ourselves to God's purposes and to God's people, so that we may be free to live lives of meaning and beauty and find the rest for our souls that Christ offers. May our loving God make it so. Amen. So we come to a time now of being in prayer together, and on this day of independence, we give thanks for freedom. We give thanks for all those who live and die in defense of freedom. We also lift up our prayer celebration concerns that are found in the bulletin, and I turn now to Wayne Zaretter to let us know about other prayer celebrations or concerns that we've received before or during this worship.
Good morning. Prayers and celebration go out to Steve and Lori Williams, who had a baby boy last Tuesday, Arthur Joseph Williams, 8 pounds, 11 ounces, who was named after his much-loved great-grandfather, Art Williams, was Cork Williams' late father. Thoughts and prayers go out to the Sorelli family, in particular for Marge Roberson's brother-in-law, who is facing extensive treatment for thyroid cancer. Thoughts and prayers go out to the family and friends of Helen Masterson Bouchard, who died earlier this week at the age of 66. Prayers of strength and comfort for Reagan and Roger Dowd as they deal with the sudden death of her younger brother, Peter, this past Wednesday as he was beginning a hike. May they feel the presence of the Holy Comforter in these dark hours. Lastly, we send prayers filled with best wishes for Bill Ramage as he celebrates his patriotic 4th of July birthday today. May he know the love of family and friends that surrounds him.
Let us be in prayer together. God of freedom, you are unfettered by the entanglements that interfere with our freedom. And so we attune to you this day and to your revelation of your nature in Christ. True freedom means to be united to you, identified with your freedom, being free to be who you call us to be, your children, agents of your love, and embodiments of your justice and your grace. And so we thank you, God, that in Christ we know freedom of spirit that nothing can enchain, for the freedom that is ours in Christ Jesus to be who you desire and intend us to be. We ask that we ever remain open and attentive to the Spirit in using your gift of freedom. Give us commitment to Jesus Christ such that we choose to do your will and not our own only, to willingly take Christ's yoke upon us and to bear the responsibilities of freedom for love's sake. We pray today for those who demand independence because they confuse freedom with being without restraint or restriction or responsibility in life. We pray for the freeing of those who are indeed held bondage by any physical or psychological addiction. We pray for those struggling to be free from meaninglessness in life, from the social burden of unemployment, from grief and illness, and for all true defenders of the freedom that you desire all people to know. May these and all those unnamed find the freedom that is your peace that comes from being bound to you and to your Son, the Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Beloved, if we ever doubt God's forgiveness, we need only remember the story of the upper room when Jesus and his disciples gathered together for a last meal with one another. He knew that one who was dipping his hand in the dish with him was going to betray him. He knew that Peter was going to deny that he knew him. He knew that the rest would lose their courage and desert him. And yet, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, after supper, Jesus took the cup and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which has been poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink it, remember me." Jesus gives us the broken body and his poured out blood, not just to take away our sins, but to take away our sinfulness. His grace goes to work in us to replace all of our brokenness in our lives with his self-giving love, so that our thoughts and words and actions might bring forth life and love and joy and peace instead of pain and hostility. So let us receive Jesus' self-giving love into our lives, freely given. Come, people of God, for all things have been made ready. Beloved, we are one bread and one body, one cup of blessing, and though we are many throughout the earth, and this church community is yet scattered, we are yet one in Christ. Wherever you may be, then, I invite you now to rest your hands lightly upon these elements as we ask God's blessing upon them, and pray with me. Healing one, there is no lockdown on your blessing and no quarantine on grace. send your spirit of life and love, power and blessing, upon every table where your child shelters, that this bread may be broken and gathered in love, and this cup poured out to give hope to all. Risen Christ, live in us that we may live in you. Breathe in us that we may breathe in you. Let us now, in our many places, receive the gift of God, the bread of heaven.
We are one in Christ in the bread we share.
And let us now, in our many places, receive the gift of God, the cup of blessing.
We are one in Christ in the cup we share.
I invite you now, beloved, to take and to eat. And let us pray together. Loving God, because the bread has meant our healing, because the outpouring cup has meant our life, because our common sharing has meant the communion of our souls, and because we have been graced by your presence, we give you thanks, and we pray that our lives be renewed in the life and love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us go out as servants of God to live as free people, using our freedom for the doing of good and for the spreading of the good news of the glorious freedom found in Jesus Christ. Go now in the peace of Christ. Amen.
This is a lovely arrangement by our friend Tom Foster, based on a theme that we'll very much love, which is God Save the Queen. Hope you enjoy it, and hope you have a lovely, lovely weekend. Thank you.